Okay, everyone, this is Tales of the Cryptids, a podcast about cryptids, conspiracies, cults, demons, serial killers, and any other horrors, real or not. Join us today for some good laughs as we uncover the truths about the strange and the unexplained.
This is Dismal Night reporting to home base. We have eyes on target. Home base, I repeat, we have eyes on target.
Copy that. Bring the target in.
Target detained.
Good work, boys. Bring him home.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's Ronnie Rose.
Hey, it's Ross.
And this is Adam. And this is Tales of the Cryptids.
We got our friend Professor X, maybe the flying squirrel, coming at you with Bigfoot tails.
Burr, burr, burr. So, just to kind of pick up where we left off, we were speaking a little bit about Bigfoot. Oh. And I'm past the point of believing that there's anything out there, but Ross was going over accounts.
I'm a skeptic, because even though, how can you cross-correlate so many people's words, so many stories? I mean, we just had my man, Professor X, also known as the Gray Squirrel, D-Man, he's... going in the woods, he's got first-hand experience.
Oh, really?
With his father, and I'm sure D's seen him plenty of times before in the past, but, I mean, even recent sightings, you know, you cannot tell me that people who have seen, you know, there's a correlation between seeing a bear in the woods, but when you see a structure being built, when you see, you know, a thermal imaging of people. These are nerds in the woods who are bringing all their camera equipment. People quit their jobs for 10 years to study this, and I don't think they're trying to make that much.
So money. It sounds like you believe, in a sense.
I think I do. I think I'm there.
Okay. So mm-hmm. So one thing that gets me is the structures of it. You know. So when I was getting deep into it, I saw the weird structures that they were building. Mm-hmm. All the accounts of so many people who said they saw something. All those people can't. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of those people have probably seen bears before.
True.
You know what a bear is when it stands up tall. You know what I mean? So that was like. And one of the things too, I used to watch, I don't know if you guys watched the show, Survivor Man.
Oh yeah.
So Survivor Man was out in Alaska, and he didn't see it, but he heard ape-like noises. And he, you know, this dude's in the wild all the time. And he was like, I've never heard anything like that before in Alaska. And I know there's no type of primate, out there.
Oh, exactly.
So when he heard that, it really shocked him. And so he went on this kind of exploration to try to find out if there's actual Bigfoot. Now, for me, no one has found it, or there's been photos, but
no one's touched Bigfoot. There's conspiracies everywhere that that Bigfoot can see thermally. You know, he's not seen during the day. He only
knows
people at night.
Okay.
So if there's people go all over the place, they are the smartest primate in existence, so to speak. If there have been so many sightings and so many stories. Again, I hate to go back from cross-correlation, but it's just, at what point do you say that we are just taking away their habitat, we are pushing them towards Alaska, we are pushing them towards Canada, we're getting more roadways built. What is it, that great gas pipeline being dug across Canada?
Yeah.
That's probably fucking with them. You know, they eat, what are they, you know, they're big primates, they're probably like, you know, they got bear.
Yeah, they eat berries and
meat occasionally when they can kill an elk. You know, they're big game.
Well, we got a guess here. So, Gray Squirrel, Professor X, do you have some first-hand type of experience with something like this?
Yeah, when you're going in the woods with your dad, you know, what are those first things and the first feelings that, you know, if you're around one, you know, even 60 yards... You know, you start to get those little traces.
You've seen bear before, right? You know?
No, I've never seen a bear in a
while. Okay.
I've never been fortunate enough to see a bear in a wild. I've seen some pretty big white-tailed deers in the wild.
Yeah.
Even little ones. And little ones sometimes get you startled.
Really?
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Sit in the woods and just waiting to see an animal or just some wildlife, and then all of a sudden one walks up on you. You know, it's a unique encounter.
Well, let me ask, before we get started on even the conversation, do you believe that there is such a thing as Bigfoot out there?
I could see how I could, yeah. I get this feeling sometimes because I like to go in the woods at night sometimes, and I want to assure myself that I shouldn't be scared of anything, that there's nothing there at night that's not there in the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've never had an encounter with anything
that's
made me scared or anything, you know, that I've recognized.
I mean, even like, you know, think about the squirrels, the turkeys, every animal in the woods, they're communicating. And so when as a hunter, you know, you got to let the woods settle, you know, and that's, you taught me that, even my uncles taught me that. And it's, you go into nature, everyone knows you there, but the animals don't know what you're doing. You know, they don't know if you're out there to feed, you're out just taking a stroll, or you're there to kill them.
Yeah,
you know. The turkey is the smartest bird out there, and they know when humans are trying to kill them.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I think because the East Coast, it's the most densest part of America.
Yeah.
You know, just New Jersey to, you know, Washington, D.C. There's so many people out there. We have pushed all the Bigfoot and Sasquatches away.
Deer as well. You know, when I first started really getting into hunting when I was young, my dad started taking me. And I remember going down, you know, to the Lower Eastern Shore when, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old, and we would regularly see very large white-tailed deer, bucks, regularly gazing, walking around, you would see them everywhere.
Yeah.
And quite often, as time went on, you know, and they kind of commercialized hunting, and it's now not something that you do to feed yourself, it's something one does to entertain themselves, and it's all about, you know, more or less, you know,
it's hunting for sport, you know,
it's a little different, gets more people in the woods.
Yeah.
People have different ideas on what the woods are and how they access them and what they do. You know, I got hunting club once, it was 120 acres. We had this tract of land for 20 years, and some of the guys that were in our club, they were in the club for 15, 16, 17 years, and they never seen a turkey one, you know? One night, one weekend, we come out, we were back at the camp, and we had come out for the evening hunt, you know, we were done hunting, and kicked a flock of turkeys out of the tree, and they went down through the woods, made a bunch of noise, and went by some of the other hunters that were there. And that I was just talking about. And we, you know, they were like, oh, what the hell was that? You know, what the hell was that? I'm getting ready to get out of my tree stand, walk back to the car, and I've got the jitters anyway because we're on the Eastern Shore in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and here comes like B-52s flying out of the tree, swooping down in front of them. Kind of, just freaked them out a little bit. And we were like, they were turkeys. The guys were like, turkeys? Turkeys in them woods? You know, and I was thinking, well, you've been in the hunting club for 15 years. You mean you never seen them before? Mm-hmm. We see them on a regular basis.
Yeah.
You know, we go in, we see them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But you know,
it's so what one person does in the woods is not necessarily what that guy does in the woods.
True.
And learning how the key. You know, when you pull up to a spot in the woods and you look down through the woods, what do you normally see? You just see trees and bushes, right? Yeah. You don't really see all the animals that live there.
Exactly.
You kind of got to unlock a little lock. You know, it's...
Oh, yeah. It's true. It's,
yeah, exactly. Because I'm kind of in the mindset of where you are, where there's so much vast landscape on the East Coast, where there could definitely be something out there, 100%. And there have been pictures and photos taken and accounts that are very believable, you know? So it's not like it's far from the realm of possibility. But Adam, I'm curious to hear what you think. Do you believe that there is a Bigfoot, just starting off?
I believe that there possibly could have been.
Could have been.
I feel like as technology improves and, you know, there's more people it's a lot harder for animals to coexist.
So you think we're pushing them out of existence?
You know, either we are, or
they are extinct,
or you know, they're going extinct. Like you mentioned, Gigantopithecus, and I think they went extinct like 10,000 years ago.
Yeah,
but there's also, you know, there's also stories of other animals that they discovered that they thought were extinct,
mm-hmm.
but there could be like a couple hundred or maybe like 50 or so, you know, on the verge of extinction, and they get rediscovered, sometimes even put on the endangered list.
Mm-hmm.
And but Bigfoot, you know, there's a lot of hoaxes out there.
Yeah,
there's a lot of things in the woods. I mean, like just in Canada alone.
Yeah,
I mean, Canada is is just a vast, very untravelable
yeah.
terrain. You know, like if we go out there trying to
look for something, you might find it.
I mean, that or just like
penetrate rugged territory.
Yeah, it's just a very rugged.
You're the only one. You can air yourself. Yeah, and then when you get there, you only got enough fuel or enough feed for your animals to go so far beyond camp before you have to come back.
Right.
So how far does the base camp actually extend in the wilderness, in the real wilderness?
Yeah. Oh, exactly. You got to create base camp wherever you go.
Exactly.
That's like, you know, you're backpacking.
Yeah, so, you know, we were on the Eastern Shore hunting this one particular spot that I was just recently looking at some property down there. You know, there was a couple acres for sale in this one vicinity where I hung at. And because I always search in my brain, because I said I never had an encounter with any Bigfoot mm-hmm. creature, but I've spent a lot of time in the woods. And I've heard and encountered some weird things, I guess. And I was speaking about this with my dad a couple days ago. It was about this track of land we were on, because I was looking at it from Google Earth, you know, because I was looking at the surrounding pieces of property there. And it was really where I was, the spot where I was hunting is in the center of this track. It's probably, I don't know, it's just huge piece of property, probably 3,000 or 4,000 acres, right? And it's real private. And it's thick. It's Eastern Shore property. Can't see your hand in front of your face, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It, you know, and until late fall when everything's down. And then in spots you get 20 and 30 yards, 40 yards. You know, we were bow hunting back in this spot, and I was back in there by myself one evening, and late in the evening, and I could hear off to my behind me to the right of me, and I mean it was down through the woods a bit. It wasn't close to me. It seemed like it was at least 100 yards away,
mm-hmm.
and it was like talking, like chattering, right? But I couldn't understand what they were saying. And I just attribute it to being maybe some kids on the farm out by the road or something.
Mm-hmm.
I figured I didn't really know the direction in which I was exactly looking at the time I was hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just was kind of rough. And I was thinking, oh, there's a road that encumbers the whole property, I guess, in proximity. And maybe it's just somebody on a nearby farm.
Yeah.
But over the last few years, I've looked at it several. And just to recent, I was looking at the piece of property, and there's... The closest house is probably 500 or 600 yards away in another direction from where I was facing. When it hit me, I'm thinking, you know, nobody goes walking through those kinds of thickets.
Mm-mm.
And I was the first, when I heard it, I was thinking, man, I was like, did you hear that? I'm listening. And it sounded like it was moving, you know, while it was talking. So I was just thinking, oh, maybe there's a fire logging trail through the woods or something I didn't know about,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I didn't know. And so the other day when I was with this map, that's the first thing I was thinking of, because this shit comes to me, you know. Like you're hunting and you're looking for a deer, you know, not or you know, I was a bow hunter. I didn't really, you know, take too many deer, but I found you know, if I trophy hunted, then I didn't find myself taking many deer at all, just enjoying the outdoors, because you very rarely get to see a big buck.
Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly.
You know, it's even. A much smaller fraction of a chance to even see Bigfoot, you know. And it's like to see a trophy buck. When I say trophy buck, I mean 4.5, 4, 4, 5, and a 6 or 7 year old buck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you remember what the sound sounded like? Because I mean, even last night when I was watching, it was like that grunt.
It just sounded to me like maybe an older person and a younger person,
okay.
and it sounded like a couple sounded like a couple kids.
Really?
And this is what's really in my mind, and there'll be no kids walking through these thickets. You get down out of your tree stand and walk through them yourself, and machete in it through mm-hmm. there, you know, and you got to have a friend with you. So you walk 20 or 30 yards of stopping, and he comes behind you because you don't want to get lost back there. You take a turn, and you could really not come out for a day or
you're
two.
You set the scene up, though, right now.
But don't you feel like the woods plays tricks on you guys?
Yeah.
You
know? I do like one thing that you said, which was you're saying it sounded like kids, and there's accounts of Bigfoot sounds that have like wooing sounds, very like. Higher pitch, not as deep sounding tones to them. So it's very interesting that you said that it sounded like a kid to you. Like maybe you're not such a manly, deeper baritone voice.
Well, I also heard some of the other people that said they've seen them say that they kind of mutter and talk like a mute, sort of. You know, they talk, they're not really.
Yeah, because I mean, it's like.
How much would that freak you out if, like, you see this Bigfoot and, like, it's a voice of a 3-year-old?
Oh, Jesus.
Two or 4-year-old kid or some shit.
It was a real pretty evening that night. It was a picture perfect evening for bow hunting, you know, and I was on this private farm and it was just amazing. And I think I've seen some really nice deer that evening, too. And when them big bucks are walking around, just getting one of them within bow range. When you're actually trying to do it to 100% wild animal is utterly incredibly difficult. I can't imagine what it's like just thinking you're going to see Bigfoot.
So do you think he was watching you? You think, because they have accounts of them in the trees. They are primates. They making structures. Well, you know, when you're looking for a turkey, that's the only time you look
up. I've been sitting motionless for hours, which I've done my whole life. I could sit in this chair sometimes for 6-7 hours straight and not move anything other than this. And I had been sitting there for hours because I had been watching deer walk by me through these thickets and mm-hmm. under my tree stand, literally, because I was over, right off the deer trail.
Mm-hmm.
And no, they weren't watching me. They didn't know I would. If it was anything, it didn't know I was there. It was completely silent.
Okay.
And
okay.
It just happened to pass. I heard it, and then it passed by me, and it was making the talking the whole way. And I could hear it talk, just couldn't hear what it was saying. And that's when I was saying this. The other encounters that people have had said that it was kind of sounded the same way I was thinking.
I mean, people were saying that's
weird.
Exactly what you're saying, because it's like, you know, as a hunter, you're listening to nature, you know what the squirrels sound like, you know what the deer sound
these
like.
These deer, they bed down right into the late evening in certain spots. I was just off these fields where they would bed down in these thickets waiting to approach these fields in the late evening. And when they'd get up, they would walk on, you'd have a 200-pound 10-pointer.
Oh, shit.
Walking 20 yards from you, and you can, and when they're alerted or you know skittish, they'll take one step every 2 or 3 minutes. Now you watch 2 or 3 minutes on your clock and try to sit perfectly still to an animal that's kind of got the idea that you're there because he can just. There's other deer that have signaled or snorted or come running back by him or something that he's like. I don't know what they're.
The community,
they're
communicating with each other.
The white-tailed buck is mm-hmm. amazing.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's something, I mean, think about it. How big is that white-tailed buck you're talking about?
Well, I've seen a few of them. I haven't really.
Over 200 pounds?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's
that's
a big,
something.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's a feed.
Huge rack.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
Hunters
yep.
will. I mean, farmers will pay hunters on the Eastern
yes,
Shore
they will.
To mm. get rid of their big bucks because
exactly.
they're eating up all the crop.
Yeah, my thing is when I hear hunters talk
mm-hmm.
about certain accounts of
mm-hmm.
maybe hearing something, that's when I pay attention because they're out there a lot. They hear a lot. They've seen, most hunters have seen, you know, depending on where they are, they have seen bears and
mm-hmm.
brown bears, black bears, and they
oh,
have
yeah.
seen other types of animals. So when they say they've heard something, seen something,
I mean,
those accounts, it's like, oh, maybe I should pay attention to this.
You know, it's interesting. It's like, have y'all heard that Bigfoot use like stealth technology?
I'm liking this though. What do you think? Because I heard thermal, and I've heard that he can, you know, it's at night. Most encounters happen at night because they can already see. You know, they have better. You know, I was saying, you know, we have been pushing them out of existence and pushing them back. They have to have some capabilities over humans.
They can move right around in these. I know there's a lot of people. We talk about this too, because we stay out at our camp late at night, and we'll stay up and eat and drink and have good times. So we'll stay up and walk
mm-hmm.
around the woods too at night. And yeah, he has to be able to see at night. That's for sure.
There's no other way.
Can't walk through those kind of thick. or dense forest the way he does without being able to see at night. And he just has a sixth sense. He's in totally in tune, must be in tune with the other animals, just as it is turkey hunting. A lot of people know that the turkey's just a big bird. And if you go startling the blue jay or the, you know, robin in the tree, then there's, you know, you spend a lot of time turkey hunting.
Can deer see at night?
Yeah, they can.
Yeah. A lot of animals, well, not a lot of animals, but certain animals can, and that's probably an animal that I probably could see at night.
Yeah.
They probably do most of their hunting and foraging at night.
Yeah.
You know, if it's such an elusive creature,
I mean,
you
think
know.
About it. They have 900 pounds of insulation.
I could go down to Eastern Shorewood, like you guys, there's lots of people.
Yeah.
You should be able to access these pieces of property relatively easy. Well, go to the Pocomoke State Forest, Worcester Highway, Shad Landing to be exact, and check out that 10,000 acres there. You're allowed to access it by four-wheel drive, and if you go back there on four-wheel drive, you could drive in it for days and not see it all. How could you walk it and cover any of it?
No.
You know? And there's other people that are pretty adventurous that do it. They shoot compass courses, Boy Scout leaders, military guys, because they're all over there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they go in and out are pretty good.
Do some volunteering.
But every year, these giant bucks manage to get shot, and they hide. Those deer come out in a rut. You know, like now, in this weather, like, you know, they can't take it. They have to chase the doe, and so, you know, so those people are back in there. It's a wonder that you don't hear more,
more sightings
than you
do.
You know, it's maybe they don't.
But
they
how many people? It's just like
say anything.
Yeah,
about.
They've been living in the woods for how long? They coexist. You know,
usually the guys that spend a lot of time in the woods, even if they did see Bigfoot, I don't know if they. Some of the guys I know, I don't know if they. Publicize it. I think they just probably keep it to themselves.
Well, has there been any accounts of I don't know how they would figure this out, but any accounts of Bigfoot potentially killing people at all?
So I got if you have anything to say about it.
There are accounts, but they're very rare. And but I mean, there's accounts of, like, I was actually looking through YouTube, and there was like a news clip of like this lady is like, we should kill the Bigfoot. We need to kill them because they're going to hurt someone. You know, so there's people that are afraid
of their lives.
Afraid for their lives or their, you know, family and friends lives or communities, you know, and feel that Bigfoot are dangerous. Now,
do you know different states have different laws on killing Bigfoot? Like, states have regulated, sanctioned laws. Where there are so many encounters that I think Virginia versus like Wyoming have laws on Bigfoot. We'll next episode we'll get you the specific laws. Okay. But I'm telling you,
from what I researched, they said that most Bigfoot encounters are not dangerous or aggressive. If anything, if you have a Bigfoot encounter. A Bigfoot would use intimidation, you know, maybe to like freak you out, so you can like move away from there.
Oh boy, I think I'd have that on mine. I usually when I'm in the woods, I usually have one or two weapons with me, and that's all. It would just take the idea of him be there before I kind of felt like I should leave.
Oh well, you know? I mean, okay.
Anything in the woods, when you're away from your car, and you know, it's just you. You know, it's a little bit of an eerie feel. And that guy, that Les Stroud went out with. What's his name? Todd Stanton.
Okay.
You listen to some of them stories that he talks about, you know, that grizzly bear pushing him up the hill, and he's got, you know.
I was just talking about Les Stroud. Survivor Man.
Man. I'm a big fan of Les.
Me too.
What a guy.
Yeah.
What an outdoorsman.
He even did that series I don't think it was called Finding Bigfoot, but it was, he was trying to look for Bigfoot, and he saw, you know, what you guys are talking about, the different structures that were being built. And he's like, no man could do something like this. Who's coming out here in the middle of the woods doing this? You know? And he seems like a no bullshit kind of guy. You know,
I agree. I agree.
Were these structures like gorilla?
So it was like the wood was wrapped around like two big tree structures with like almost like a upside down canoe with debris over top of it. And there was like, they were pulled in weird ways, and I don't know.
This was like on ground level, or was like no, this, this tree was, house.
It was like on ground level going, so it was probably like a 7-foot, 8-foot type structure.
Wow.
and it was kind of like going up into like a U-shape, and it was like a big tent,
yeah,
in a way. So when he saw that, I was like, man, this is kind of weird, because I've seen him on different shows that I watch, and people grill him, you know, people actually, Les, come on. And he's like, dude, like, I wouldn't lie to you. This isn't what I'm here to do. I don't know the guy. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't lie to you. This is just my job.
You know, like, I don't know the guy, but...
I'm really impressed with a lot of things that guy does.
But, yeah, I'm a huge fan.
Before he got into the Bigfoot hunting, when he was doing those survival shows, staying out there by himself and just taking in, you know, what nature had and dealing with it, that's a pretty strong fella.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
That's a pretty strong fella. And, you know, when he brought Todd on it, like, those guys... I've been in the woods a long time. Nothing, not up there in the great north like they are, but I couldn't imagine how it feels to be out there and in the bush
by yourself
where there's no one and you don't have a cell phone service, or they say, why don't you have your camera with you? Well, geez, he whiz. I was watching Gold Rush White Water last night. That's the tail end of Gold Rush where the Dakota boys are in them gorges up in Alaska, mining in the gorge where they have to helicopter in their dredge and then bring it down into the stream. So they couldn't, they didn't find the gold where they were wanting to, so they started traveling up Cahoon Creek, you know, looking for the source of the gold. And the drone was going up the valley. This is impenetrable property. It's too rugged. To hike in. It's too rugged to camp in. It's too rugged to do anything in. It's virgin territory. You don't know what's in there.
Exactly.
And that there's a reason why each one of them guys have one, if not two, sidearms on them. It's because they're just not there to kill anything, but they're just not sure themselves of when you're going to come over a little knoll or around a tree. And maybe, like Dustin said a few times, see a baby bear. Or, you know, the story, see a baby bear. Well, when or
find the mama bear.
It was Todd Stanton that said when he took the video of the Bigfoot. You see the video on YouTube, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of the video. Yeah. I mean, you look at that video. He's actually blinking his eyes and moving his lips at the same time, and when Todd moves, that thing looks at him like that. You look at, watch that video 40, 50 times.
I show that to my buddies, man.
And most people are looking here.
They left me out of the room.
Look down here. You can see his chest in the bush, and he kind of does that too. Wait. You know, so people that says it's just a head.
You never seen this?
Wait, what? No. Which video is this?
YouTube. That's what got the Survivor Man involved in it.
Yes. Oh, okay. So there's a video of on YouTube of Todd Stanton. He took a recording of
a real Bigfoot.
It looks like a real Bigfoot, but I'm not 100%.
It's
certain.
So unbelievable.
It looks
idea
crazy.
Of what he got is true, but. A guy who plays around
That's,
in that kind of wilderness, right?
It was messing with him.
Telling you what I saw that night that I was deer hunting on the farm.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was I saw when it come deer wise. It was the rut deers were running up and down the trails all around me. They were blipping through the thickets. The bucks were chasing the does. Sometimes I had 4 or 5 arrows sticking in the ground that I shot at deer running by me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I come out and I'll tell my friends when I get back to Baltimore. You know what it is I'm seeing, and it's just conversation for a minute, and then it drifts away until not so important.
Yeah,
I don't know what this guy's seeing up in them woods.
He's all over the place.
Go up in there with him once.
Well, one of the things I saw from him that was more convincing to me than even that video I saw was there was a video of him at night, and trust me, man, I know when someone sounds like they're fearful and they're scared.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You hear that in their voice.
I know when they're not bullshitting. And I heard that video of him screaming, like, get out of here! And you hear the fluctuation in his voice. You hear the nervousness in his voice. And that dude, like, you know, like he's been in the woods. He knows what the fuck's out there. And for him to be that scared, that came through to me as 100% genuine.
Oh, well, he doesn't have to try that hard to convince me that he saw what he saw, because I've tried to convey that same message to my elders when I started deer hunting and I was young. My dad taught me kind of how to hunt. And whenever I went, never had a really problem finding deer. They kind of always found me and always seen nice deer and big deer.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I always used to see them in the magazines and on the movies. And I'd try to come out and tell everybody that I was hunting with, even the elders, that I seen a big buck or this. And they'd look at you like, yeah, sure he did, kid.
Where's the carcass at?
And that's all you could do. It's the same kind sort of thing. You can just say,
yeah.
I don't know how to explain it to you, but I looked up and he ran by me, and it's true. He was really there. He had horns like this. you know?
Mm-hmm.
And just because they didn't see them, it's hard to etch it in their into their reality.
And plus,
that's exactly how all the Bigfoot encounters are. You know, and we're talking about, like, okay. Yeah, I'll get, I'm going to watch that video later. But yeah, that's how all the Bigfoot encounters are. Like, I saw him. I tried to get my camera out. You know, mm-hmm. if you're nervous, you're shaking.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's hard to keep, like, a nice still camera.
Absolutely.
Like,
well, it's like kicking up a deer when you're walking through looking for a hunting spot or something. You're looking through a new area and you're traveling through this really rugged terrain just trying to get through the sticker bushes, deal with the mosquitoes, not get ate up by the chiggers, but find a decent spot where you can maybe set up on a game trail or something, mm-hmm. right? And then all of a sudden you hear a couple crashes and look up and there goes a buck bounding down through the woods. And you got three guys with you, all of them got cameras and none of them can manage to... Because the deer's doing this, and three or four, and he's gone.
And a cell phone camera.
It's a different level.
Yeah, you can like focus on one thing, and the other part gets blurry. Like it's a whole production to get.
Usually, when you're hiking up through the woods, you're not thinking Bigfoot.
No.
You're like, I got this really difficult compass course that I'm cutting here, going up through the mountain here, and you're going over and under and around, and you're just trying to keep yourself from breaking an ankle or going down, and then all of a sudden. You know, you're making lots of noise along the way. Anything that's living up in there can usually hear you coming.
Oh, yeah.
Adam, do you have any, like, comments or accounts that you looked up where people were talking about?
Yeah, so there was someone that told me this Bigfoot story. I'm not going to name any names. But they were hiking in Virginia and camping. And
was it Jeremy?
No.
We're gonna get him in here. Don't worry.
So So it was a group of guys. They all went down to Virginia, and late at night, one of the guys, like, they didn't have tents. One of the guys felt something wet on them. And he
went out though, like some saliva dripping on him, or like
he felt something pouring on him.
Taking a piss on him?
And well, I'm gonna get to
Okay. We're touching on something.
So he wakes up, right, and this big, very muscular, hairy looking person is standing over him. And what he thinks is peeing on him, right? So he like gets up.
It's like, Johnny, what you doing, brother?
Yeah, and this thing like just starts taking off running.
Oh wow!
And I heard this story, and I was just like, I heard this story, and I was like, oh, okay, so one of the guys like peed on you, like accidentally or something, or on purpose. I don't know, but
who knows?
You got peed on by one of your friends, you know, but. But he swears that no, it like took off running. He had to wake everyone else up.
So you were drunk in the woods, getting peed on, blaming it on.
It was that intense. He had to wake up the whole camp.
He woke up everyone. But I heard the story. I bust out laughing. And I believe that one of them. One of them went back to sleep.
Real quick, you know.
But yeah, I mean.
That could happen.
He believes this, you know.
Think of Appalachian Trail. I mean,
Shenandoah, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And granted, you know, that's a little more heavily traveled than some of the, you know, the wildernesses and, you know, the far north and, you know, the tundra and all those areas. But there is the most poverty ever along the Appalachian Trail. And, you know, there's some of those guys are...
Poverty?
Oh, poverty. I mean,
I didn't know that.
Some of the poorest, it's terrible. Mm. You know, and you know, people are still shitting in outhouses, no electricity. Yeah. You know, that's fine, but it's the conditions that, you know, there's no other opportunity.
Yeah, there's no other way.
And so, you know, when campers and hikers are the only ones giving them food, or, you know, they have to go hunt a deer or something, I mean, they're probably scared of, you know, what's around them too.
Exactly. So I'm one of the things I'm curious about too is so Bigfoot, I guess they're cousins of gorillas and chimpanzees and different monkeys, right?
So It's definitely a bipedal type of hominid species, you know. As we've said, probably something similar to Gigantopithecus, which was 8 feet tall, 800 pounds. But something that I wanted like to figure out is like, what do Bigfoot eat?
Mm-hmm.
And because Bigfoot are, you know, if we're going to talk about like Sasquatch and everything, they're all over the world. So, you know, they're very adaptable to eating.
I mean, I heard it was...
I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm. Omnivore.
But yeah, I went ahead and like researched what other primates ate, you know, just to like maybe get a better sense of what Bigfoot might eat. So gorillas are almost entirely vegetarian. Orangutans, they consume massive amounts of vegetation, and they will eat small animals, insects, and eggs, and whatever else they can scavenge. They also will use tools. Yeah, so they've been observed using tools to like gather ants or whatever they need to do. And chimpanzees are largely vegetarian and prefer fruit. But chimpanzees actually will hunt.
Don't they hunt other chimpanzees?
Yeah,
they'll hunt other smaller animals. Yeah, other small monkeys.
They just kill other chimpanzees.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. They're territorial.
They rip their balls off.
Chimpanzee
will rip off anything they can grab their hands on. Any extremity.
Yeah,
Your lips. Oh, you know, their jaw. They go for the jaw a lot.
They're hardcore,
actually, because you can't bite them.
Yeah.
You know. they'll go for the jaw, rip it out, because it's for them, it's about survival.
Yeah.
And if they want to eat,
take out the other chimpanzee tribe.
Yeah.
God.
So they're the only ones besides humans who actually will hunt, and I think they even like will coax little animals
traps
closer to them. They'll set food. Yeah, they'll set traps.
Yeah.
And then humans, you know, we'll go through drive-thrus.
Yeah.
McDonald's.
Whatever. And whatever.
All the hunting we do, like I said, is for sport. So we'll go hunting, and then we'll go to McDonald's and go through the drive-thru. So that's what primates eat. So like I said, I think that Bigfoot, they're probably if they're alive, then and there's like thousands of different encounters all around the world, they probably eat a lot of different things, and they're probably very adaptable.
100%.
So I'm gonna say that they probably are similar to orangutans, where they'll eat vegetation and small insects and whatever else they can eat.
True master of the woods.
They'll eat a hot dog bun off a campsite.
Whatever.
They'll
piss on you.
They walk around barefooted. That's the crazy
ways.
You come down here in January, 6 inches of ice.
The bottom of their feet must be like tougher than shoe soles.
Just the encounter, you know, the idea of the encounter of the big fella. Oh my goodness.
That would be
mind blowing.
You probably couldn't believe it. Yeah.
I mean,
all the endorphins would just run through your brain, and you just
nerve problems now.
Yeah.
For real. And that's the other thing. Like, if you're startled and your fight and flight kick in, you're not like thinking about your cell phone.
Yeah.
You're not thinking about anything. Your brain turns all that off, and your blood rushes to your organs.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And you're just thinking about survival.
If you were walking
thinking
through
goes
the
out the window,
and you were walking up on one of those beta traps, like he had set for another animal or something, and he was in the ambush waiting, and you just come lollygagging down the trail, like, oh, la da da, I'm going over to my tree stand, and you know, you walk by him, and he jumps out on you, like boogity boogity,
it's over.
That would be
it's
it.
Over.
That would be it. I think I'd fall him hung arrow.
I mean, right there. I was listening to a little bit of the Sasquatch Chronicles on the Green River Monster.
Yeah.
And, you know, they saw, you know, a bunch of guys in the woods late at night, you know, on their own property. You know, there was nothing. So they explained it, you know, perfect environment for large game. They thought it was their Uncle Billy or something like that, you know, a little too tall. Got scared, ran back. You know, he was lost or something. I think they found their uncle back at the house. Didn't know what was out there. Scared them, grabbed all their guns. They said they grabbed all their homemade tracers and all the bullets. They set the woods on fire shooting this guy, or shooting the Green River Monster, as they called it.
Yeah.
But they didn't kill him. He after three or four shots, jumped up, ran away.
Well, that's, you know, that's the idea of some of the guys that go out there and look for Bigfoot. I hear them yelling in the woods, yelling in the night, throwing rocks.
Mm-hmm. That's not how you
right?
do it.
I don't see. Oh man, you could never do that to a wild deer.
Oh no!
If you're up in that on the ground or up in a tree stand and one walks by, I would suggest you to be motionless and still listen. Don't move, because they'll most likely sense it and see it and run.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's even more severe with a turkey. Like I think a turkey is a little sharper than a deer. It's tough to say, but
shit.
You know, man. To even, you know, there's other folks that are looking for them and stuff, and they're hooting and hollering, making loud noises and clunking on the trees.
Oh, you're not finding
them? You know, it might take a little bit of noise, get him interested somewhere, maybe a little talk or like campfire chatter,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, the thing is, this guy was leaving out apples for him, and so apparently the Bigfoot love apples. And, you know, and you know, you start filming the apples, and then, you know, you take the... Well, my whole thing is, it's like, if you're going to film the apples, why not put like four cameras on it? Why do you always have one apple?
Well, that's what Les Stroud did. And that apple disappeared right on the film. And, you know, I don't take Les as one of them kind of guys that would even just cater to one moment of hokey pokey when it comes to the seriousness of the topic in which we're discussing.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, you see that apple disappear.
Yeah, no, I saw that.
There was no hand in the frame that grabbed that. It just disappeared.
Yeah.
You know, and like he said, laying there on that hill, he said he heard some things circle behind him and come down below him. He said he had the suspicion that he wasn't alone. You know, he didn't see them per se, but you know,
So you're about to go?
Yeah, your boy Ron's about to dip out of here. I got an appointment, unfortunately. But you know, I always love the conversations, and you know, just keep listening, keep loving. We're gonna get crazier and crazier, and
hope you enjoyed.
Yeah, and I'll see you. Are you guys wrapping up, or you guys keep?
No, I think we're gonna keep going a little bit longer.
Okay,
but have
cool.
a great,
our guys,
a great meeting.
Hi, boss.
This was great, guys. I did not expect this, man. This is. I did not expect this.
I didn't know. Yeah,
when you guys should talk about Bigfoot, I'd start grabbing some fun. I didn't know.
We're having
you
some
know,
fun.
I gotta tell you that this is one of my favorite topics in my life because I've been in the wood hunting since I was this high, bow and arrow.
Yeah.
So when the gun season's not in, so you know, it's really a nice thing when nobody else is in the woods.
Yeah.
We should take a camping trip one weekend down to the Pocomoke State Forest. And check some of this place, do some canoeing and hiking and maybe some four-wheel driving through the woods or something.
I'm telling you.
That about.
Yeah. All right, guys.
Peace.
All right, let me know next time, next week.
Yeah. Probably not next week, the week after.
Oh, yeah, because the art show. I'll be in the art show, though.
Yeah.
You want to take a break, do some food, and then get back to it? Or you want to keep rolling?
Can we, like, wrap up in, like,
okay, 15 minutes? Yeah, of course.
I think we could wrap up. We're already almost at an hour.
Yeah.
We'll probably edit it, cut it down or whatever.
Yeah, of course.
Cut these parts out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what we were talking about last
time. No, I was saying...
The only other thing I want to talk about are...
Of course.
Some different topic. So do we want to wrap up this topic?
So do we want to keep going on Bigfoot, or do we want to go to, like... I know we were talking about aliens and extraterrestrials and...
Let's talk about our final consensus.
All right, final consensus is I don't even know what exists, what doesn't exist, who to believe, what to believe, because again, you can't. When the man next to me, when his father and him have been in the woods, you know, their whole life. They've seen some strange things. They've heard some strange things from, you know, shit. Johns Hopkins has even probably got a Sasquatch downstairs in, you know, some cage that they've been testing medical things on. Who knows? That's heavy speculation. But they got tunnels. They got mines. They got every medical thing that you could even believe in. You don't think that they probably made it all by themselves. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. You know, when it comes to a blood test, Hopkins could tell you everything on it. But they don't tell you what they got on Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. Think about the government file. Like, government just documentation. It takes 30 to 40, maybe even 50 years before classified documents come out. So the records on Al Capone are just coming to fruition. The ones that the government had. So they're not telling you. Area 51, Bigfoot, Sasquatch. It doesn't matter that they're keeping everything. You know, once you scare the people, they get up in arms. And they'll take a rifle to the woods and try to find them. You know, once you get 30,000 people looking for Bigfoot, then you find them. It's like a, you know, lost kid in the woods. We haven't had a search party like that, where you take out all of Oregon. Once you start stepping, you know, Oregon by, you know, Oregon Trail doesn't matter. You know, you're gonna find that sucker. It's just we don't have the resources, or we do, but we don't want to put the resources. I mean, what do you think about that?
Let's devise a plan for the ultimate base camp.
Yeah!
High atop a mountain, probably 15,000 feet somewhere high up. And, you know, a fully funded research base camp where they can fly in guest scientists of the week, you know, and they can go out from there. Horseback.
Well, I'm sure they have something like that for different types of...
Well, just entertainment purposes where we could, like, maybe put some, you know, some... cameras on their shoulders or body cams or whatever. We could just witness the real research that one would kind of put an effort forth to try to maybe locate the big guy.
Yeah. You know what's interesting is, like, we haven't found any remains of Bigfoot.
We also haven't found the dead remains of a grizzly bear that died in the wild of natural causes either.
Oh, really?
That's
interesting.
So, I mean, I think... You know, it's always, you got to keep the conversation open, because as soon as people stop talking, someone's going to, you know, that's when it dies out. These are the stories passed down by the campfires,
passed down by the folks you talked about up along the Appalachian Trail that are kind of like just living off of the land there, so to say, of natural resource themselves. It doesn't sound like they're the people that are really
coming out,
you know, able to tell the world their story. I don't think they have internet connection or really a part of that side of things. So a lot of the real encounters that you might want to hear about, you might not be able to, because the people are just kind of like,
they're scared. They
don't know. They're up in the hills and they're kind of hermited anyway. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be laughed at and poked, you know, made fun of. And
no, it's true.
You know, for some of the things that they don't think they know, you know, and
I mean, it's kind of like the, you know, going back to the Sasquatch Chronicles, the man didn't come, you know, didn't tell his story until he burnt half of his woods down. You know, he scared the piss out of him. He burnt down half his real estate. And then he came to the reporters and goes, why the hell was there a big ass fire here? Well, you're never going to believe this, but, you know.
You know, you hear the stories and you listen to them. There's some of them are really crazy and some of them aren't so crazy. Some of them are very believable and not everybody can be lying. Okay, you know, there's some of these folks are just everyday people, and you know, it's funny how you could have a homeless person laying in the alley next to a dumpster, witness a murder. He could show up and testify, and they'll put you to death for that murder. Yep. You could have a police officer and a pilot, or you know, or maybe a fireman tell you, hey, look, I seen Bigfoot. He was standing right there on that logging road, or he ran across in front of my car. And the world will look at him like, yeah, right, whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or they'll just tell him, you have to retract that comment.
Right.
Yeah, you can't say that. I mean, if you want to keep your job.
What's that a lot of that point? You know, there's lots of write-up. They start to talk about some of this stuff on Ancient Aliens and stuff about how, you know, it talks about in the Bible how God rid of the earth of the imperfect man, I guess. You know, there was...
It's just
in the text. It's in the book. It's worth talking about. You know, it's worth discussing. Exactly. I guess. And then, you know, you have to wonder why all these people are. You know, there's been all these shows about guys who said they have shot in them recently. Justin Schmeha being one of them. I mean, you look at the guy. He's a hunter, riding around in the truck. Tells you that he hangs his 7 mag out the window and rips off a couple shells at one and shoots him in the chest, and the world doesn't believe him. Because he had some holes in his story, but it's weird. It's weird that
no one
can come up with some proof. And there was a couple of tests where people had sent some artifacts into the science community and said, hey, look, this was the remains of Bigfoot. We're looking to get verification of it. And then they sent it back inconclusive. Well, they sent the same remains to other scientists that they didn't denounce what it was. And they said it was unknown and just, can you test it for us? And they said it came back with like ape-like DNA and a mixture of human DNA, you know? Yep, and
that's what I'm saying.
So it's almost like the scientific, can you trust the scientific community? You know, the guy Justin Schmeha that claims he's been taking a lot of ridicule for saying he shot this Bigfoot. Okay, the story goes they were riding around looking for a place to bear hunt. They come upon this opening I'm not sure where they were, Alaska. I can't remember. Okay. But the location, but they thought he was looking at a movie set when he seen a Bigfoot out in the field with a couple of young ones, and he said he pulled his gun out, told his buddy to stop the truck, and pulled his gun out and shot him right in the chest. And wow. That he said that when he got over, that he said it hit the ground and got up and run away. And he said that he went over the hill to see if he could find blood or anything, and there was two of them walking around, talking like I was telling you earlier, like where they was just chatter and mutter. And he said he shot one of them and killed it. And he said he stuffed it under a tree because he got nervous when he picked it up. It looked like a human, he said. The human dies looked human, and he said he just got rattled and buried it. And months went by, how's the story goes, and then he went back because his buddy advised that he had had some groundbreaking, find there, and that he needed to report it to the scientific community, bring the attention to the world. So he goes back to ground zero and looks around, can't find it, and then he comes across some remains in which he takes back and turns into the scientific community, which is scrutinizing this whole thing, and then they send it off for research, and it comes back inconclusive, a bear. No. So just, I mean, when you were watching it, you know, if you ever watch a hunter miss a deer, he's got all like body signs and you know, it's just written on him that, you know, God, you guys are picking my story apart, and all I'm trying to do is tell you I shot this thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know
what I mean?
It's not, you know, he wasn't in for any gain or anything. He was just trying to do it to help.
Yeah.
You know, and it looks real bad because, you know, it was a couple variations I think they made out of his story. But long story short, he sent his findings away. It comes back inconclusive, and it just looks like the scientific community is purposely denying this. The findings, like, okay, you spoke about Johns Hopkins and the Smithsonian. If you do some research, you can find there's a head taxidermist that was employed by the Smithsonian Institute for like the last 15 years, and he's like with their main go-to guy, and he's talking about Bigfoot, about what it is he's mounted in for the Smithsonian. So you could do some research and look him up.
You know, it's interesting because the Smithsonian and other museums, they don't show everything. You know, so
yeah, they got a back door. They got a back room too.
They do,
and there's a lot of different reasons.
So if there's text in our little black book that says, you know, there, it refers to what's kind of happening here, and it wasn't to be kind of really brought. I don't know. Maybe it slipped through. Maybe it survived. Maybe it's still here. You know, I mean, that's just a wonderful thing about nature is we don't know. You know, they're trying to catch glimpses of spotted snow leopards up in the Himalayas or wherever they're at, and you know, you got like 10 seconds to get a picture of him when he crosses in front of the camera, or snafu. I mean, that's a needle in a haystack. Finding Bigfoot's the same way.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, I think that's a good point to end on. I mean, it's really one of those inconclusive. If you got a story, email us. Shoot us a chat or try to reach out. We love hearing everything like that. I mean, I don't know. I still don't know how I feel about it. I was up to 4:30 last night just watching and YouTubing and researching. And, you know, once your head gets in that space, you know, real late at night, you know, you start questioning. Then you ask your buddy the next day and you say, what, you know, what have you heard, or what did you look up, or, you know, what personal stories? And I just don't know. You know, you can't. You can't be an ultimate denier with thousands of people.
Yeah, I think, I think that's perfect way to end it off about Bigfoot. I think pretty soon we're going to have our social media set up, and we really want to hear what you have to say about Bigfoot. But before we end it off completely, have y'all seen this carp with a human face?
No. What?
Y'all want to see this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Once we set up our social media, I'll post these things as well. Look at this thing.
Wait.
Look how he, like, he has eyes, nose.
Yeah! Excellent!
Somebody airbrushed that.
Crazy, right? Oh,
that's probably, but that, look at that. That's really unique.
All right. Hold on.
Beautiful, man.
Alright, so also the a mermaid squid seen by National Oceanic Atmospheric Association, or NOAA.
NOAA.
They're on a routine exploratory venture. This deep sea cephalopod could possibly grow up to like 66 feet in length, and has like tentacles of Medusa.
Oh. Deep sea fucks with me. We don't know what's out there.
And I'm just gonna scroll a little bit. All right. There's like a picture of it. That's a pretty big squid.
Oh, that's a huge squid.
And this right here in the video that we're looking at is one of the instruments that they use, like a deep sea.
Deep sea, like a, oh, it's like the cartography, so to speak, or like the sonar.
Yeah, so it's like, it goes and like collects samples and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and then the last one is, a woman gets bitten by a snake while sleeping. This creepy snake attack was captured in Thailand. So a son installs the CCTVs to monitor his elderly mother, right? And like, the camera records a snake creeping and crawling like right across it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
See,
so this woman gets bitten by a snake while sleeping. Check this out.
Oh no.
And this like poor woman's foot is just like moving back and forth. Whoa, it just like jumps.
Probably thinks that foot is trying to, like, fuck with him.
She doesn't even know.
Did it bite her?
Yeah, it bites her. And then she doesn't even realize it. She gets up.
Signs of light on her or something. Oh, it's in Thailand.
That's great. Look at that snake.
It's on top of the bathroom.
Is that like a boa or something?
Probably.
It's beautiful. It's
dragging it out.
Yeah,
it's like, all right,
dragging
funny.
It out.
Yeah, you're out of here.
Damn.
No more drinking out of other people's cups for you.
Yeah, that's just crazy. Like, imagine sleeping.
Sexy.
Imagine sleeping and then.
Isn't she stunning?
Uh-oh. Hey, Michelle.
Are you still recording?
Yeah, we're still recording.
Okay.
That's cool. We're actually ending it now. So you can listen to our podcast on Anchor,
Spotify,
Apple Podcast,
other media.
Yeah,
platforms,
there's so many. Like literally, we're just gonna hit all the different podcasts. So check us out. This is Tales of the Cryptids.
Love you guys.
All right, thank you.
We've been talking about Bigfoot. There's something else that I want to talk about that's very important. The majority of reports suggest that Bigfoot creatures are solitary and prefer to stay away from humans as much as possible. If a Bigfoot and a person do cross paths, a Bigfoot generally will only use intimidation to ward off its visitor. There are unverified accounts, so we can take this with a grain of salt, that on rare occasion, Bigfoot have mutilated, killed, and even eaten people. This could be the reason thousands of people go missing in the U.S. national parks every year. I don't know, but it is a great conversation and debate to have. But there is a creature Native American tribes in the east coast of Canada have feared for centuries, and some have correlated or said is a type of Bigfoot. The Native American Algonquin tribes, who live in the Great Lake regions and northern forests of Nova Scotia, have a haunting lore about the man-eating creature called the Wendigo. A Wendigo is a monster with characteristics of a human or a spirit who has possessed a human and made them into a monster, and is said to influence acts of murder, insatiable greed, and cannibalism. Also, the modern medical term, Wendigo psychosis, is rooted in this lore because Wendigo psychosis is a syndrome with symptoms such as intense craving for human flesh and the fear of becoming a cannibal. The Wendigo has been described as having an emaciated appearance, its ash-gray skin pulled tightly over its bones, with its bones pushing out against its skin, and eyes pushed back deep into its sockets, and what is left of its lips is tattered and bloody. The creature also has festering flesh, giving off a strange and eerie odor of decay and death. The Ojibo tribe and other tribes often describe the Wendigos as giants, many times larger than humans. Now, this is a characteristic that's absent from other Algonquin cultures. But whenever a Wendigo eats a person, it will grow in proportion to the meal so it does not ever get full. Therefore, Wendigos are simultaneously gluttonous and extremely thin due to starvation. The Wendigo is seen as the embodiment of gluttony, greed, and excess. It's never satisfied after killing and consuming a person, and is constantly searching for its new victims. If you see a Wendigo, get as far away as possible. If you cannot, natives say that you must stab it through the heart, cut off its head, and burn the remains to ensure that it does not come back to life. This is your host, Adam, and thank you for listening to Tales of the Cryptids.
Tales of the Cryptids podcast is brought to you by Jam from the Fam. Jam from the Fam is an Australian-born, American-made chili jam that's delicious with every bite. You can check them out at www.jamfromthefam.com, or you can go to @jamfromthefam on their social media. Make sure to check these guys out. That jam is delicious, and you'll never want to go back. Jam from the Fam.